Amen. Thank you, Rob. Very good. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. I continue from this morning's message, All Out. Tonight, I guess we'll just call it All Out Part 2, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. In other words, do it all now. Give it all you got now. You aren't going to be doing anything in the grave. Amen? Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. All out. And then Galatians 4 and verse 18. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 18. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. Notice he said it is good to be zealously affected always. What's he saying? He's saying it's good to go all out. It's good to be zealous. It's good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. Go all out in a good thing. Give it all you've got in a good thing. Do all you can in a good thing. What's he saying? He's saying let's go all out. He's saying what was said 70 years ago by way of letter. In the midst of the conditions of the present hour, there's a place and a need for the testimony and ministry of a group of Christian men and women who will go all out for Jesus Christ. Father, bless the preaching. Thank you, Lord, for putting it in the hearts of folks 70 years ago to start the Adrian Bible Fellowship, and eventually it would become Berean Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, that from the beginning it was a ministry designed to go all out for the cause of Christ. Started in the midst of World War II, and certainly a lot of difficult times were going on then, Lord, by a group of folks that said, we want to go all out. Thank you for people going all out. Thank you for the many, many souls that have been saved at Berean Baptist Church over the years, and for the many more that are going to be saved. We look forward to going all out for you, Lord, till you come or till we go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just out of curiosity, how many of you were saved as the result of Berean Baptist Church? Stand. Stand up. All of you that were saved as a result of Berean Baptist Church, stand up. Now look around. This is a Sunday night. It would certainly be more on a Sunday morning. But look, I mean, this is amazing. Amen. It's amazing. In other words, you were saved because maybe somebody knocked on your door, somebody went soul winning, or you came to church here, you got saved here, you were saved as a child here. This is fantastic. It's a wonderful, wonderful testimony of Berean Baptist Church. It's because somebody went all out. Somebody behind a pulpit preached. Somebody knocked on door. Somebody visited in some place where you were, in your home, or maybe at a friend's, or maybe in jail, or wherever you might have been. I mean, somebody went all out. Maybe they gave you a track. Maybe you were working at the cash register, whatever. But somebody went all out so that you could get the gospel and you could trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can be seated. It's fantastic. And it's a great testimony. Over the years, I want to give you some other numbers tonight. But, you know, this morning we talked about God in creation going all out. God started with nothing, and he went all out. And in the midst of all that, he kept saying, now this I made, and that's good, and I made this, and it's good. And everything he made, not only was everything made that had life, the life had a need, and it had needs of different kinds. And God made the provision for the need. And I love that. You know, when he went all out, he went all out. He didn't leave anything behind. He didn't leave anything that we had to do or figure out. Everything was made perfectly and right by God because God went all out. And we see God doing that over and over in Scripture. And I spoke this morning about the fact that we have an all-out Savior. Praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is an all-out Savior. He could have quit. He could have come off the cross. He did not have to be punched one time. No man should have been able to spit on him. He could have stopped that at any time. But instead, he went all out and he hung on a cross and he died and he was buried and he went all out and he rose again so that we could also have life and death would be defeated by his rising again. We have an all-out Savior. We have an all-out salvation. Our salvation is not just a afterthought. It was planned before the foundation of the world. And our salvation is an all-out salvation. He saves to the uttermost. And he saves anyone. And he saves all kinds. And he loves us. And it's all-out salvation. And by the way, you can't lose your salvation. It's all-out salvation. I can't imagine what kind of a salvation is a I can lose it salvation. It isn't much salvation, is it? And I think I would feel like that wasn't really named properly if you could lose it. But he gave us an all-out Savior and an all-out salvation, and we also have all-out scriptures. We have everything. We have everything we need. We can find out how to be saved by looking at our Bibles. We can find out that we're lost by looking at our Bibles and that we have a Savior. We can find that out by looking at the Word of God. But it's not just words on pages. It's powerful words. Words that have the power of God behind them. And they're quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's all out scriptures. God didn't just give us a book. He gave us a supernatural book. A book that literally can change our lives. And can give us hope and can give us comfort and all of that. We talked about that this morning. The idea of going all out is to not hold back. To not give a little bit, to give everything. To give it all you've got. I ask you tonight, are you all out for God? Are y'all, I'm not talking about are you perfect. I just mean, is it your desire tonight? I'm going to give it all I've got. 2012 is not over, and I'm going to end it right. I'm going to give it all I've got. 2013 is on the horizon, and we're going to kick it off with a kind of a theme this year, and a theme of I'll tell you that later on. But I'm excited about that. And what are you going to do, though, in 2013? We have activities planned, all kinds of things going on. Are you going to go all out in 2013 to not hold back? What are we holding back? Are you all out tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you all out? Hey, listen, let's start all out. For 70 years, Berean Baptist Church has been going all out for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the result of that is countless hundreds and thousands of people have trusted Jesus as Savior. Many, many people have been saved, gotten baptized, joined the church, grown in the Lord, and many have gone on and doing great things for God in other countries, in other ministries. By the way, many have gone on to heaven. And they're rejoicing tonight that they went all out for the Lord Jesus Christ. 70 years of going all out. I want to touch on some areas tonight that I believe we need to have an all-out kind of a ministry. Number one is all-out supplication. What do you mean? Look at Ephesians 6 and verse 18. I knew something was wrong. I don't ever wear my glasses when I preach. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. I can't read the words if I wear my glasses, but I can't see you if I don't. So I think I'll stick to the words. Amen. Ephesians 6 and verse 18, somebody said, you see those kids acting up during church? I can barely see anybody during church, to be honest. I keep an eye on the whites. You got to watch them. But you get much farther than that. So, Larry, you can goof off. I can't see you. But Lou can, and he's watching you. Ephesians 6, 18, the Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's all out supplication. 70 years of prayer and supplication. In my mind, I can only wonder how much prayer has been involved in Berean Baptist Church. I mean, I think back 70 years of prayer and supplication where God's people got on their knees and they begged God for miracle after miracle. I think in the beginning days of prayers that had to be said and begging God for money and begging God for chairs and begging God for pews and begging God for a place to meet. You notice in the letter that announced the starting of the church, a meeting in the Masonic Lodge. And, people saying, we want to have our own building someday and we want to have a place where we can meet and a place where we can call our place to meet. And begging God and asking God and begging for souls to be saved and begging for lives to be changed and begging that drunks would get saved and alcoholics and drug addicts and people whose lives are a wreck and begging God for his power on their services. The psalmist said in Psalm 55 and verse 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. But I'm telling you, folks, he may not hear your voice on a casual kind of a prayer life, but he will hear your voice on a prayer life that's an all-out prayer life. An all-out time of saying, oh God, this evening I'm burdened. In the morning I'm burdened. At noon I've got some things I want to pray about. Who will go all out and pray this year? Who will go all out and beg God for his power and go all out and pray for your church and pray for Sunday school class, pray for these teenagers that were up here singing? And oh, it's easy to, find little things wrong, but how about just, oh God, bless those young people that are up there singing, bless these young people that play instruments, bless the folks in the choir and bless our children in master clubs, and oh God, get a hold of their hearts and help them to do right. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, a verse we like to memorize, pray without ceasing. Amen. Pray without ceasing. What's that? That's all out praying. That's all out supplication. Jesus prayed all night. Jacob, the Bible says, wrestled with God until God had blessed him. All night long. All night. How long has it been since you talked to the Lord? How long has it been? How long has it been since you were up 2 o'clock in the morning talking to God? How long has it been since you wept and tears stained the place where you knelt as you prayed? How long has it been since you had all out supplication to God? Jesus prayed for us until he sweat drops of blood. How long has it been since you prayed fervently like that? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervent. What is that? It's all out. That's all out supplication. It's all out begging God. Oh God, we've got to have you. We've got to have you. Nehemiah prayed for a nation. Daniel prayed for a nation. Moses prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah. When's the last time you prayed for homosexuals? With a tear. When's the last time? You say, well, preacher, they're the enemy. No, they're not the enemy. Satan's the enemy. They're lost. They need to be saved like anybody else. I mean, if they are lost, there's some homosexual folks that have trusted Christ as Savior. And they're fighting it, just like you fight some of your issues in your life. And I fight some in my life. Hey, listen, when's the last time you prayed for sinners? When's the last time you prayed for somebody before you talked about them? When's the last time you prayed for somebody before you criticized them? When's the last time you prayed for somebody before you told them about how wicked and vile they are? When's the last time you just got on your face and said, oh God, please help this person with their needs. Please, God, help. When's the last time you laid our bulletin on the ground and you prayed over it? When's the last time you took the church directory and laid it out and opened it up and page by page prayed for the people that are in the church directory? It's amazing if you look at it how many are already in heaven. Yes, when's the last time that you took the prayer sheet and you prayed over it until tears started staining the pages as you wept over people? When's the last time you prayed like that? When's the last time you took the Berean Baptist Academy yearbook and opened it up and prayed over each page until tears stained the pages? It's easy to talk bad. It's easy to talk about. It's easy to criticize. But when's the last time you let your tears stain the pictures? Drip, drip. Oh God, please help this child. God, help this family. God, help these folks, and the tears should dot your church directory, your yearbook. 70 years of all-out supplication. And we need 70 more years of all-out supplication, prayer. Do you know, problems are prayer problems. Every problem is a prayer problem. Every need is a prayer need. And folks, we need to get on our knees and we need to pray. 1 month this year is going to be dedicated to prayer. And it's going to be dedicated to prayer. We're going to emphasize prayer, all-out supplication. We need to pray for each other. We need to mention each other's name over and over and over. You say, well, I don't know everybody. Here's a good way to get to know everybody. Talk about them in prayer. Amen. On your knees. All out supplication. Number two is all out service. 2 Samuel 23, verse 16. I guess my favorite example of all out service. 2 Samuel 23, verse 16. I like talking about David's mighty men. 2 Samuel. Well, it'd help if I was in 2 Samuel. But that story in 1 Samuel is pretty good too. 2 Samuel 23. My bad. And verse 16. And the three mighty men. Wait, verse 15. David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And these three mighty men, you talk about all-out service? You talk about somebody who said, your wish is my command? I'm talking about the Philistine army had that well surrounded. They had soldiers there. They had Bethlehem was captured by them. The garrison of the Philistines was there. And David said, just off the top of his head, boy, I'd love a drink of water from the well at Bethlehem. And these three men said, if our king wants it done, we're going to do it. And in my mind, I'm looking forward to heaven when we get to watch the DVD or whatever kind of production it is then, and we get to see that thing take place because those three broke away. They took off to Bethlehem. They fought through the garrison of the Philistines. They dipped a cup into the well water, and they brought that water back to their king. And do you know that if three men will do that for an earthly king, how much more should we do for our heavenly king? All out service. You know, the attitude today seems to be so much of, well, what will I get out of it? These three never thought of that, not one time. In fact, the opposite is true. They did not even think. Amen. I mean, they didn't calculate. They had no plan. They just took off. Our king wants a drink. And man, they just took off. Well, what am I going to get out of it? Praise God for servants who faithfully serve week after week, 70 years worth of folks serving God. I mean, you think about that. All of the opportunities to serve God, 70 years worth. I started listing names and then I decided, no way, because I'll leave somebody out and I'll be in more trouble than ever. But you know, you think of our music program and you have people who sing. You have people who play instruments. You have music leaders, song leaders over the years. People that are servants of the Lord in a music program, a children's program, nursery, Sunday school, master club, junior church, vacation Bible school, bus ministry. By the way, vacation Bible school, 140 people last year helped out and served at Vacation Bible School. Berean Baptist Academy. I'm talking about children ministries. All the hundreds and thousands of people over the years that have been involved. Boys Brigade and the girls, what was it? Pioneer Girls. Is that right? Pioneer Girls. And all the programs over the years. And some of you were saved in those programs when you were a child. And praise God, though, somebody had to serve. Somebody was the one that rounded everybody up. Bill Alfrey was telling me about going to a camp up north of Lansing, and he was all excited. Said, "Oh yeah, we loaded up the bus and we took off and went up there, and the bus broke down." I thought, well, that's pretty typical of buses. And he's telling about this, and you know, he said there was a funeral going on at the church, and we had to call back home, and back then there were no cell phones. Children, gasp. Yeah, I know, it's hard to believe, isn't it? No cell phone. And so they had to get to a pay phone or a crank phone or whatever it was, and they had to get on the phone and call back home. And all of a sudden, what happens? People at Berean Baptist Church, they get in their cars and they drive north of Lansing and pick up all those kids, take them on to camp, and then drive back home. And there's a funeral going home. And I think of all the times I look around and we've got a group over here doing something here at this building. We have a group over there doing something at that building. We have a group of folks over at a school having a ball game. We have another group of folks on buses doing something. And I think, praise God, that's all out. Amen. That's how it has to be. It has to be all out. And our teen ministries, and our college and career ministry, and our ushers, and our maintenance people, and people making quilts, and money counters, and cleaning, and taking care of the grounds, and adult Sunday school classes, and our senior saints, and our deaf ministry, and our prison ministry, and our prison correspondents, and our shepherds ministry, and our fair ministry, and our fellowships, and decorating, and the prophets chamber, and mission groups, and mother-daughter banquets, and PA, and video, and website, shut-ins, nursing homes, soul winning, 70 years. People have been doing all this stuff. You say, man, I'm exhausted just thinking about it. It is an exciting, exciting thing. And in the future, I think, what about when somebody says, oh, that we might have, will a servant jump up and say, I'll do it? If our Father says, oh, that I might have, the King of Kings has a need, shouldn't we all say, we'll do it? Of course we should. I'll do it. That's called all out. You know, over the years I've watched, the 10 years I've been here, there's so many servants in this church. That's why there's no way I'm going to list the names. In fact, I could probably list everybody's name and I'd have been safe. Because in one way or another, you serve. And you go all out. All out. And again, I names are popping in, but I don't want to do that. I can't do that. All out. Service. And it's got to be that way in 2013. It cannot be. Well, I just want to kick back and relax. It's not time to relax. Right. It's not time to sit back. And thank God somebody said, hey, I'll do this. Whatever ministry it was that reached you, wherever it was, thank God they didn't say, I'm going to relax tonight. Whatever it was, whatever ministry that finally drew you in, either got you to church or got you saved in your home or whatever it was, thank God. Somebody said, I'll do it. Thank God when the call came, hey, I wish somebody would. And the King of Kings spoke and somebody said, I'll go. Thank God. Thank God. Like the three mighty men, somebody from Berean Baptist Church said, I'll do it. I'll drive the bus. I'll teach the class. I'll do whatever I need to do. I'll knock on the door. I'll make the visit. I'll drive the car. I'll go. I'll do it. I'll go with the teenagers. I'll show them. I'll teach the children. I'll watch them in the nursery. I'll listen while they cry. I'll change the diaper. I mean, over and over and over and over and over and over. It's all out service to God. Praise God for a bunch of workers. Praise God for a bunch of folks that say, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'll do whatever I need to do. I'm a servant of the King of Kings. And Lord of Lords. Yes, we have all-out supplication, all-out service. But number three, we need all-out soul winning. All-out soul winning. I you know, look at 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. He said, night and day. Now, I'm not telling you to go knock on your neighbor's door at 2:00 in the morning and say, my preacher said to preach to you. All right? The point is this, that anytime, every time, every opportunity is a time for soul winning. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 8. 2 Thessalonians 3 And verse 8, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable, there it is again, to any of you. We don't want your blood on our hands. We want you to know we loved you enough to tell you. Shouldn't Adrian know we love him enough to tell him? Shouldn't Lenawee County know we love him enough to tell him? Shouldn't your loved ones know you love them enough to tell them? Shouldn't your co-workers know you care enough to tell them? You see, all-out soul winning is not just soul winning. It's a soul winning church. It's a soul winning person. It's every aspect is about trying to get people saved. It's every part of our lives. It's everywhere we go, we have tracts and we give them out. You can't always talk to somebody about the Lord, but you can always carry something that can. And you can always be ready. It's called being soul conscious. But as far as the church is concerned, it's every aspect of the church. That list that I read a while ago, soul winning's in every part of it. All those activities, all those things, soul winning is part of it. It's within everything. It's a soul conscious church. That's all out for soul winning. And it's a soul-conscious church only if it's full of soul-conscious Christians. Do you care? Do you care about the lost? I hope so. Isaiah 32, verse 20 says this, blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. All waters. Isn't that good? Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. Because there may not be any fish in this pond, or there may be a couple, and there may be just a few in this pond, and over here in the river there may be a few, and over in this big old lake there's some, and out here in the big old sea there's some. And the truth of the matter is, the more hooks you get in all the different waters, the more chance you have of catching fish. Yeah. And that's why that list, every soul winning's included in all of it. Fooey on a prison ministry if you don't tell them about Jesus. Fooey on a shepherd's ministry if we let them go to hell. Fooey on a children's ministry if we don't tell them the gospel. Fooey on any kind of ministry in a church if we're not telling people the wonderful news that Jesus came, he died on a cross to pay for their sin, and they can be saved. And we give them an opportunity every time to be saved. We have funeral services, we have people saved. We have weddings, we have people saved. I mean, it should be our heartbeat. It should be the most important thing we do, but it will not be a soul-conscious church unless we're all soul-conscious Christians. We need to care for the lost. We need to care about lost people all around us. You say, well, you know, they look weird. Yeah, I know, and so did you. And such were some of us. And were it not the grace of God, we'd be in jail. Were it not the grace of God, we'd be out on the street. Were it not for the grace of God, we'd be in the same messes so many are. Oh, listen, folks, honestly, we need to be a soul-conscious bunch. 70 years, in the midst of World War II, we need to go all out. And soul-winning was the heartbeat of the group of folks of the Adrian Bible Fellowship. Soul winning, as you'll find out next week, as the history is presented. You know, so many things have happened because people just went out, knocked on doors, talked about Jesus Christ, went to the stores, talked about Jesus Christ, handed out gospel tracts. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, sowing everywhere, because we're using a seed that will accomplish its work. It's just a matter of scatter the seed. Well, I just don't know if I'm going to see any result. Yeah, you're not accountable for the results. You're accountable for the sowing. Just get it out. 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 I did some, Patty put together some statistics for me as far as she could, and I did some estimating. And I've estimated that nearly 60,000 people have been saved in the 70 years. That's just right here, Berean Baptist Church Ministries. All right, in the last 70 years, about 60,000 people have been saved. That average is about 855 people per year. But listen, since 2000, one-third of that number has been saved just since the year 2000. It's about 20,000. That's over 1,500 people per year saved. And there's only one reason for that. It's going all out. It's because there's so many ponds, creeks, rivers, lakes, oceans. There's so many areas to cast our lines in. You hear Larry all the time. He says, best fishing hole I know about. Talking about the prison ministry. Huh? Well, that's what he's talking about. Hey, you know what? You find a good fishing hole and don't tell anybody. No, I'm just kidding. But you find a good fishing hole and fish it. You know, Kathy Moran, she'll argue with him. She'll say, oh, no, the fair ministry, that's the best fishing hole. Huh? Bus workers say, oh, no, it's the bus ministry. That's the best. And by the way, we ought to love every one of those fishing holes. And we ought to be excited about them. Why? Because that's where all these people are coming from that are getting saved. And I think about going all out, and I think about Dale Stewart's vision. Several years ago, he said, reaching Judea, reaching our county, and going all out into our county, and getting out on some of those dirt roads, which are now mud roads, way out in the southwest corner of the county, and going corner to corner, and house to house, and road to road, and mile to mile, and tell it folks about Jesus who've never had anybody knock on their door to tell them about Jesus. And you go from point to point, corner to corner, just about anywhere, and you're going to go about 60 miles. Yeah, you're going to go from southwest Lenawee County to northeast Lenawee County. It's going to take you well over an hour. Yeah, just think about that. And in between, there's precious souls. And some of them have never had anyone knock on their door and give them the gospel. See, we ought to be concerned about Africa. We ought to be concerned about China. We ought to be concerned about the 1040 window. But we need to be concerned about our own little area right here, our own Judea. But you got to go all out. You got to do it on purpose here. Some of these soul winners, they'll tell you, they don't see anybody saved some weeks. Some weeks they don't see anybody. Some weeks they're not sure if they even know where they are. You say, well, why don't they use their phone? No service. You get out in the southwest corner of Lenawee County, and you know what? There's militia out there. Oh, they're out there. That's why you got to be real careful. I'm a soul winner. Don't shoot. Shh. Oh, listen to me. All out, all out, all out. That's what we need to have. That's what we need to be. We need to be all out. Soul winning, all out supplication, all out service, all out soul winning. Number four is all out study. We need to have all out study. Hey, when is the last time you studied your Bible? 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. You know it, but let's look at it. 2 Timothy 2, I'm just about done. I'm shocked. I need to add points. No, don't. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Look what it says. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You want to be approved unto God? You want to be approved unto God? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Praise God, that's a good and faithful servant. How about well done, thou good and faithful student? I want to meet his approval. Study, he said. You got to study. It's not going to just slap you upside the head. You're going to have to dig into it a little bit. You're going to have to study it a little bit. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, to study the Bible and rightly divide it. To take the word of God and rightly divide it like a gymnast. Not a gymnast, gymnologist. Divide, not a gymnast. You're thinking of somebody doing flips and cartwheels. A gymnologist who divides a diamond. And it has to be absolutely perfect. It has to be studied. It has to be analyzed. Every facet has to be examined. And they cut it. And to cut it wrong ruins it. To cut it right, it's worth a fortune. And to rightly divide the word of truth, my friend, is worth a fortune to you and I. And the Bereans, the Bible says, the Bereans, they searched the scriptures daily to see that it was so. And the preacher preached, and they got out their Bibles, and they marked it down, and they maybe took some notes, and they wrote things down that the preacher said, and then they went home and they searched the scriptures to make sure it's so in their heart. Praise the Lord. That's all out study. I wondered how many times in 70 years this church has gone all the way through the Bible. Study. How many times each book of the Bible has been preached on, each verse has been talked about, each time the Bible has been gone through in 70 years. It's an amazing, amazing thing. But you know, we need to have all out study of the Word of God because God said to. Look at Hebrews 6, verse 1. Here's what happens if you don't. Hebrews 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on. And what happens if we don't study is we never leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. We're saved. We know we're saved. And by the way, praise the Lord for that. But we never leave that. It's all we know. And God says, let us go on unto perfection. That's talking about being a mature Christian. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God. We don't need to relay the foundation over and over again. Let's build on that thing. Let's build on that thing. It only happens with all-out study. And by the way, when you do that, you become fully persuaded, as the Bible says. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And that helps us with number five. Because not only do we need all-out supplication, all-out service, all-out soul winning, and all-out study, but we need an all-out stand. All-out stand. Not just because so-and-so said it, but because I believe it. We're seeing today so many people giving up on that which they used to believe. 2 Samuel 23. Here's one of my heroes in the Bible. 2 Samuel 23, one of David's mighty men. I like this guy. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 11. Shema. And after him was Shema, the son of Agee, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. What's that mean? It was a little garden. It was a garden. It was a garden that the people were taking care of, and this group of Philistines, this troop of Philistine soldiers, were going to come and take over that garden. But it was a garden that was dedicated to God's people. And this fellow named Shema, he decided that he was going to stand, and he was going to protect that little plot of garden full of lentils. It wasn't the lentils that mattered so much. It wasn't a cucumber or a tomato or a bean sprout. It wasn't an ear of corn. It was the ground is God's. And you don't mess with God's ground. And he said, by the way, everybody else, they all took off, the Bible says. But it said about Shema, it said in verse 12, he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. You mean God cared about that plot of ground? You better believe he did. He cares about every bit of ground that you and I are able to get because we got it in our heart and we believed it. He cares about every victory that we have. He cares about every time we've stood while others fled. Go to 1 Kings 21 and verse 1. Here's another one of my heroes. 1 Kings 21 and verse 1, and many of these stories I remember reading as a new Christian and found myself cheering for these people. 1 Kings 21, 1, it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard that was in Jezreel hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it's near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And you know the story. Ahab got with Jezebel, and Jezebel concocted a scheme and had Naboth killed. What was Naboth saying? Ahab said, I'll give you more than it's worth. That little plot of land there, he said, that little vineyard right there, he said, it's not worth anything. Naboth said, I'm sorry, it is worth everything. No, he says, Naboth, you don't understand. I'll give you a better vineyard than that. It's just right by my house. And Naboth said, no, my father gave me that. You know, folks, sometimes what's been passed down from our fathers, it ought to mean something to us. We ought not be so quick to sell it. We ought not be so quick to just give it up. No, listen, we need an all-out kind of a stand. Naboth cost him his life. Yeah. You say, well, Ahab got it. Yeah, but Naboth had character. And he stood for what was right. Praise the Lord. Recently, I preached on Stay by the Stuff. Stay by the Stuff. I love that story in the Bible. Because you know what? The stuff is our stuff. That the stuff was stuff that they won in victory. And the stuff we defend is our stuff. If it was true then, and that stuff was right then, it's still right. Amen. Amen. If it was worth it then, it's still worth it. It's stuff. It's what we believe. It's what we do. Amen. It's the King James Bible. It's preaching. It's altar calls. It's salvation by grace through faith. It's soul winning. It's separation. It's revival. It's repentance. It's tears. It's compassion. It's songs from the heart. It's spirit-filled service. It's God's power. It's walking with God. It's stuff. It's stuff that God had to knock me in the head over and over again to get inside here. It's stuff God had to teach me. Stuff he had to teach us. It's stuff he taught the fathers, the people that started this church. It's stuff that came while they were on their knees begging God. It's the stuff that came through Bible study, revival, walking down the sawdust trail. It's stuff that we knelt at an altar and we said, God, you've put this stuff in my heart. I don't ever want to let it go. It's called an all-out stand. We don't have a lot of persecution, folks. Honestly, I'm amazed how Christians give in to so many wimpy things anymore. You know, well, I don't feel good about it. You know, that's so wimpy. You know, it's just so sissy. I'll tell you what. You know, we might see persecution, though. I'm talking about real persecution. I'm talking about where we would actually really have to stand. And it might cost you a job. It might cost you a thing. It might cost you your life. There's no guarantee that we won't. Christians are. I gave statistics this morning in Sunday school of the thousands and thousands of Christians who die year after year for the cause of Christ. No, we're not asked to do that. We're just asked to stand by the stuff. Let God be true, but every man a liar. I believe in the old paths of Isaiah. It's our stuff. It's our piece of ground. It's our garden. It's ours. I'm like Paul in Ephesians 6 when he says, having done all, do all you can, having done all, to stand. Just stand. I said this the other day when I preached about stay by the stuff. I'll be honest with you. You know, the guys that went out and fought the next battle, they didn't want the guys guarding the stuff to get any of the reward. I'm going to tell you, it's harder staying by the stuff than it is to go out and fight the initial battle. It is harder. I promise you. It is harder guarding and sticking with the stuff. It's keeping that stand. It's harder because you get pulled every way. Every way. People get mad. People get upset. People gripe. People complain. Moses, you know, he said, God, I don't know if I can take it. It's harder. But I'm going to tell you, we are going to be so glad when we stand before God. We stood by the stuff. All out stand. And that requires the last thing, number 6, and it's all out sacrifice. Real quick, Judges 5 and verse 18. I love this verse. Judges 5 and verse 18. The Bible says, Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeoparded their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. Jeoparded. Literally, that means they despised their life. When you put your life in jeopardy, you're not thinking about your life. And that's what it means. They despised. They didn't think about their life. They put their life at risk. That's called all-out sacrifice. You know, well, what about my feelings? They despise their feelings. They put their feelings at risk. By the way, you're never going to do anything for God till you're willing to put your feelings at risk. You are never going to be able to do anything for God because you've got to automatically, you've got to reach out and love people that don't love you. And you're going to get your feelings hurt. I don't know how many people tonight, they are sitting at home watching TV because they got their feelings hurt. It's true. But here's somebody, look, it's called all-out sacrifice. Okay, I'm just put my feelings out there and say, you know what? If I get my feelings hurt, who cares? That's called jeoparding. That's despising your feelings. And by the way, you're never going to love people till you're willing to put those feelings out there. You will get hurt. I promise you. You get in a bus ministry, you're going to get hurt. Amen. You teach in a Christian school, you're going to get hurt. You get in any ministry, you're going to get hurt. Somebody's going to hurt you. There is just no way around it. Prison, it doesn't matter. Prison ministry, good night. You'll hear promise after promise after promise. And your heart will be broken over and over and over and over. Reformers Unanimous, you've had them come. I'm going to get right. I'm going to get settled. I'm going to do right. And one of them just got arrested. Yeah, you know, you have to despise your feelings. You have to despise your plans. Put your plans at risk. That's called all-out sacrifice. What did the widow do? She gave all she had. Well, how was she going to make it? She thought he could probably help her out. It's called, she despised that mite. Are you listening? It's all-out sacrifice. I, the lad gave his lunch. He didn't know he was going to get fed. The Lord needs a lunch. And the boy said, I got one here. What was he doing? He was saying, I'll put my lunch at risk. By the way, he ended up getting fed so much, he had plenty. Yeah, he probably got a Twinkie out of the deal. That was before they closed. Maybe he got an Aunt Millie's thing. But you got to despise your wants. Are you listening? Yeah, it's all-out sacrifice. Yeah, but what about what I want? I know, you got to despise what you want. Huh? Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Living. He didn't want you dead. If he wants you dead, you're dead. You ever thought about that? I mean, when he wants you dead, he speaks and you're dead. That's it. It doesn't have to be a big cataclysmic thing. You just die. He can just say dead and you just die. That's all. But it's a living sacrifice. Living for God. It's daily saying, God, I despise my time. I'll put it at risk for you. God, I despise my feelings. I despise my plans. I despise my wants. I want whatever you want, God. Esther said this. She said, if I perish, I perish. Who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I wouldn't plan on coming for such a time as dying. But then later Esther said, but if I perish, I perish. A couple verses and we're done. 1 John 3, verse 16. I just want to close with three verses that back this up. All out sacrifice. 1 John 3, 16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Watch what it says. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Wow. How do I know God loves me? He laid down his life for me. Well, how will they know that we love you'll lay down your life? Well, that doesn't mean you die for him. It doesn't mean you throw yourself in front of the train. It doesn't happen very often. You don't even get that opportunity very much. What's it mean? It means, what can I do for you? How can I help you? Now, they may look at you and have the nicest smile on their face, or they may have tears coming down their cheeks, but they may be thinking, I'm going to take such a big advantage of you. You were in for it. But you just say, I'm going to take that risk. I despise my feelings. I despise my plans. I despise my wants. What can I do for you? That's called laying down your life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Acts 20, verse 24, Paul said this. Acts 20, 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. We're so hung up on our lives. We have to have an all-out sacrifice of our lives. It is said of the Christians in the tribulation, Revelation 12, 11, I close with this. It's recorded, this is what they will, this will be their testimony. Christians, people that get saved and stand during the tribulation. Revelation 12, 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They loved not their lives unto the death. If guards walked in the doors right now, and as far as I know, they're not. But if they walked through, they came through this door, that door, that door, and those of you that are armed, you didn't have time to do anything about it, and you wouldn't have enough anyway. But they came, they stormed through here, and they marched you up here on the platform and said, now, believe Jesus, and you get a bullet in the head. Deny him, and we'll let you go. This is what's going to happen in the tribulation. In the Bible, their testimony is this. They love not their lives unto the death. They love not. In other words, if you love your life, you're going to have a hard time taking that bullet. You know, what we find today is people love their lives so much, they have a hard time taking a stand. But what will they say? What will people think? What, they're going to think I'm a weirdo if I talk about Jesus. I mean, come on. And the truth of the matter is we need some folks to make an all-out sacrifice. I promise you over the years, 70 years of Berean Baptist Church, I promise you there have been folks that made unbelievable sacrifice. Not just money. We always think of money when we talk sacrifice. I'm talking about their lives. Let's bow our heads, please. All out. All out. Praise God. Somebody went all out for you.